All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
The name's Adam Weber, and I see that you buy baseball cards.
How much you want for this Mickey Mantle rookie season?
I was hoping to sell all of the cards.
TalkZone presents the Fan Cave Radio Show with your host, Tom Morgan.
This guy's unbelievable.
Featuring Phil Rogers of the Chicago Tribune and Dave Hoekstra of the Chicago Sun-Times. Sponsored by HoosierBat.com.
Wait, I'll make you a deal. I will give you a Rogers Hornsby if you take me to the hotel.
The show that can change your life.
Rogers Hornsby?
Just let your wife find out you're listening to a sports and memorabilia show on the internet.
Rogers Hornsby's worth like $4,000.
So what? I got two of them, and this many Larry Yogi Berras.
Sit back, relax, and learn a thing or two. It's the Fan Cave Radio Show on TalkZone.com.
Let's go to work.
Welcome to the Fan Cave Radio Show. I'm Tom Morgan with Phil Rogers of the Chicago Tribune, Dave Hoekstra, the Chicago Sun-Times, and our producer, Dave Olson. We're on every Wednesday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Central Time, and you can hear rebroadcasts of every show 24-7 at TalkZone.com. So it's another show already, men. Dave Hoekstra, you're with us, right?
I'm right here.
All right, very good. I don't know if you guys noticed last night, White Sox and Cubs, scarily similar. Each scored two in the first, didn't score again, and they both lost.
I think that's sort of the key point there at the end there, Tom.
They both lost?
Yeah, exactly. Although, let's be honest, and I'm sure Dave will agree, Dave's our Cub fan. Who really cares? You know, they're micromanaging. Should Mike Quadi have taken Matt Garza out after 113 pitches? And, you know, he turned it over to Marshall. Marshall blew it. It's actually a good thing. That's one more loss closer to the second pick in the draft. I don't think they're going to catch the Astros, but going into next year, you might as well have the second pick as, you know, if they play well from here on out and wind up with the seventh pick and, 74 wins instead of 67. I just assume they have the 67 and the second pick.
Kind of a strange move. I guess Quadi let Garza bat in the seventh, and then one guy gets on in the eighth and he immediately pulls him. You know, if you're going to do that, why don't you just pinch hit for him?
Yeah, that's that supposedly better strategic style of baseball in the National League, which I just don't, I don't want to see the pitchers batting under any circumstance.
Second inning, get rid of
that. You know, that happens more often than you would think. That same thing where the pitcher comes up and the manager does have to decide, do I hook him for a pinch hitter? You know, I think it's surprising when a manager doesn't. I think it's almost, that's sort of a crutch I think National League managers lean on is, okay, well, the pitcher spots up here, so I'll take him out. And, you know, I think a lot of people celebrate that as great strategy, but to me it seems almost automatic. When a guy doesn't take him out, you know, to me that maybe that's the tough decision, but hooking him seems automatic.
Well, especially I think he had like 113 pitches at the time. I mean, if he's that, you should probably be pinch hitting for him no matter what there. That just seemed like odd strategy. What do you think are the chances Quadi will be back next year, Phil?
I think they're pretty slim. In my mind, there's no question a different person's going to be calling the shots. Maybe Jim Henry winds up staying in the organization in some kind of a special advisor capacity because Ricketts does have this loyalty to him. But he won't have authority if he does stay. I think that's a situation that could work because Jim, I think, is a get along with you guy, and I don't, the new GM. And the Cubs actually have had that model for a long time, keeping the old GM in the organization. Whether it's good or bad, I don't know, but it's probably bad, but I think that could happen. But a new GM could buy himself a year by leaving Quadi there, and then just sort of still he's writing off 2012 to get his feet under him, and you know, anything goes wrong, it would be the old manager's responsibility, not the new GM. But I think they're going to be in such a big hole at the end of this year that I think a new GM will bring a new manager with him.
Hey, I got a question. We were at the game. I was at the game last night. This is a good fodder for a column topic. Whoever came up with the 100 pitch, tire rule or tire number? Why is it 100? Why was it at 90 or why isn't it 110? I mean, how did the
every pitcher's different. I mean, I think announcers use the 100 pitch thing just as a number for people to look at, but pitchers are different. Yeah. Like some pitchers, Danks used to get tired at 90 pitches, almost like exactly. Some pitchers can go 120, like Verlander can go 120 or more pretty regularly. But 100 is just probably an average number, wouldn't you think, Phil?
Yeah, I think 100's definitely on the low side. 120 is what I know is really where you start to worry yourself about fatigue that could cause an injury. I think there's two different levels. There's that level of get a guy out because he's getting tired, and then there's that level of even if a guy looks strong, how far can you let him go without him potentially hurting himself? And I think the latter number is the 120. I think that's the more firm number. If you can't go 105, 110, you know, you would have to be qualified as a big weenie. And you're right, Tom. When early, they really babied John Danks. And
well, you could see him lose it though. Like he hit the 90th pitch, and all of a sudden his breaking pitch disappeared. That was early, early on in his career. Last night, you could see Peavy. I don't know how many pitches he had thrown. It had to have been less than 100. But you could see Peavy's breaking pitch lost its snap, and they started hitting him. And, they scored some runs off of him. So, I mean, every pitcher's different with that, depending physically how they're doing.
I thought Garza was impressive last night because, not so much the temperature, but the humidity. I mean, really tough to pitch in. Roy Halladay is about as tough as they come. And when he got, murderized by the weather two nights ago, I mean, I think that tells you just how tough it is to go out there and not be bothered by it. Garza's a kid who grew up in Fresno, California. He's a tough customer and showed it last night by pitching through that weather.
I like him. I think he's a long-term keeper for the Cubs, actually.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think one of the reasons that they felt they could give up what they gave up to get him was that he's under their control for 2 years after this year, so that they have him for three if they want him, and I think that had a lot of appeal to them.
Yeah. I noticed the pitcher that they traded for him, the young pitcher, Archer, was not doing much in the minors this year.
Yeah, they had some question whether to keep him as a starter or a reliever. Some people have always said he might be a late-inning relief type, and they decided to keep him as a starter. And they sent him to Double-A, which surprised me, not Triple-A right out of spring training, because he had a good camp. And he seems to have sort of regressed, but the guy that's come on like crazy is Hak-Ju Lee, the shortstop.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I said Keith Law of ESPN is top 50 prospects. I think he had Hak-Ju Lee as number 9, the 9th best prospect in the minors, up from 48 or something when the season started. He's led the league in hitting pretty much all year in the Florida State League. He's in an interesting situation. Tampa Bay had two shortstops at the Futures game. Tim Beckham, who was the number 1 overall pick in the Gordon Beckham draft, I believe. And then they had, Hak-Ju Lee. So Beckham's been a Double-A, Hak-Ju Lee in the Florida State League. He probably should be playing higher, but he's a good glove, good field guy. Saw him for the second time in the Futures game this year, and you know, he doesn't do anything that spectacular, but, you know, I think his range at shortstop and his speed, makes people think he's going to be a really good major leaguer at some point.
How's his arm? Does he have a gun or just average, or have you seen him throw enough to even be able to tell?
I think it's, I don't know if it's quite as good as Castro's. I would say it's better than average, but it doesn't qualify as a gun. When you go there and see the top prospects, I think there'll be infielders with better ones, but, you know, he's so fluid. He gets to balls, and I think he'll get outs because he's a quick release, you know, really fluid type guy. Probably a better shortstop than Castro, although I still defend Castro. I wouldn't be that quick to talk about moving him off shortstop because, you know, his arm gets him a lot of outs on those balls, especially in the hole toward third base. I think he's got to become better, going up the middle and making plays, but, I like him at shortstop a lot.
Well, we have a guest with us on. Here's a man who I consider to be very funny. His name is Dave Sinker, and he's owner of the Comedy Shrine, which used to be in Naperville and now has a new location just in Aurora, just outside of Fox Valley Mall. Is that correct, Dave Sinker? Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you guys?
We're doing great.
Yeah, I just, I can't believe I'm up. This is amazing. it's summer. What am I doing? What am I doing on the phone? Yeah, we just moved to. We're at 4034 Fox Valley Center Drive, right across from the mall. It's a huge facility, a lot bigger than our old space. We went from 4,200 square feet to about 7,000 square feet.
Wow.
And, yeah, we have two stages now: one for improv and one for stand-up comedy. I think I'm the only theater in America that does that, has a improv stage and a stand-up stage. So I'm trying to bring the forces of good together. You know, there's that rivalry between stand-up and improv. It's kind of like the Sox and the Cubs kind of thing, you know. But so how's everything? Where are you guys right now? Are you all in like the Bat Cave? I think somebody answered the phone with the Bat Cave there. Is that
it's the Fan Cave, but it's a lot like the Bat Cave. Dave Hoekstra has a Batmobile, don't you, Dave?
I'm just sitting at home. I'm just
yeah. I'm okay. In the back room at Tea Crown with a little headset on Skype. Where are you, Phil? You never know. Each week we're in. Well, I'm always in the back room at Tea Crown, but Dave and Phil, you never know where they're going to be.
Yeah, tomorrow I'll be in beautiful Albany, New York on my way to Cooperstown, but right now I'm sitting looking at my backyard in Naperville where there's actually green grass growing. I'm pretty proud of myself. I'm surviving the heat wave.
Yes, I grew up in New York State, so I know Albany well. Albany's the gateway to Troy, New York, actually. It's quite lovely this time of year.
My brother actually called me from Cooperstown yesterday. He was at the Hall of Fame yesterday. He goes, "Hey, Tom, I'm at the Hall of Fame." I'm like, "You are?" So yeah,
I love Cooperstown. Cooperstown's not just for the Hall of Fame itself. The village itself is really nice. Very, very nice area. I'll be lucky to get to West Chicago this week. So,
Dave Sinker, don't you kind of have your own like a little comedy Hall of Fame shrine in your?
Yes.
What type stuff?
My theater looks like eBay blew up. It really does. I have over 4,000 items of comedy memorabilia on display. It's not all out yet. I'm still unpacking stuff in boxes, but that's why the theater is called the Comedy Shrine. There's it's not only two theaters and a bar. It is a museum to comedy. Everything dating back from old toys from Charlie Chaplin to probably Dennis Miller doll. How's that for and Hangover posters? So we're trying to.
Hey, Dave. Yeah. Dave, is the Dennis Miller doll doing NFL commentary, or is he like still on the Saturday Night Live set?
No, you know what, the Dennis Miller doll. I think the manufacturer, when he started talking about football, they discontinued that right away. That didn't work out too well for Dennis.
No. I sort of missed him. I thought that could have worked, but I'm not sure. Not sure why it didn't. NFL fans, I don't find to have a huge sense of humor, so maybe that was the mispairing.
Yeah.
Not if their team's losing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Well, I think Dennis is sometimes too smart for the room, and he knows it, and I think that is something that you either love him or you hate him. And, I think that's a problem for him, no matter what venue he's in.
You know Tom Morgan, so would you say Tom has that same problem, you know, when people walk in, triple crowd, it's tough whether you can relate to Tom, because, you know, he's going to be talking quantum physics or something.
That's true. They turn the channel quite often.
Well, and that's the problem, too. You get these 8-year-old kids coming in there. They just want a football card, you know. I don't need to hear this talk. It's summer vacation. I don't need to know about physics. Just sell me the damn card so I can leave. That's pretty much what they want.
The 8 and 10 year olds are all smarter than I am. That's the problem. It's the adults that I have a chance against. So Dave Sinker, tell us about the move. Like, tell us what goes on there. When are shows? When can people get tickets? What's going on at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora?
We have a whole lineup of great shows. We have we have an improv stage. Our improv shows, Thursday night is a great show. It's called Pimp Prov. We have four gentlemen coming in from the city, and they are pimps, and they're dressed like pimps, and they do improv. We couldn't do this in Naperville by law.
really, by law?
Yeah, the only pimps
there's
in Naperville are
in
residential
Naperville.
So we couldn't do that in a retail facility, but we do have it. Pimp Prov is Thursday nights at 8 o'clock. It's $15 for adults and $12 for students or military personnel. And then we do our normal Who's Line show, which is short form improv, kind of like Whose Line Is It Anyway, which was the old Drew Carey show. That's 8 and 10 o'clock on Friday and Saturday. The Friday 10 o'clock show is our naughty show. So that's for people 17 and over. And tell all your friends from Wheaton to come on out for that, because they just love the naughty show. I don't know what that's all about, but they come in buses. And then Saturdays we have two other shows. Saturday 4 o'clock we have a teen show, the Teen Improv Cast. And we have our family show, which is called Cheaper Than a Movie, and that's very family friendly, very not naughty show. And that's at 6 o'clock on Saturday, and that's $5 for kids and $10 for adults. And we have open mic comedy on Monday nights. That's $5. That's 8 o'clock on Monday, and that's stand up comedy. We usually have anywhere from 12 to 15 comedians performing. And, you know, and it varies. It's either the very seasoned comedian just testing out material, or, you know, people that are just trying stand up for the first time. So it's a very interesting mix of comedy on that night, and it's a lot of fun. Thursday is Best of the Midwest comedy, and that's also stand up, and that's $10 for adults. And then on Saturday, Friday and Saturday evenings, 8:30 and 10:30. We have the Superstars of Stand-Up, and this weekend we have, David Graham is the headliner with Jeannie Dugan and Matt Drufke, who are the featured comedians that night. So there's three comedians. So what we try to do, guys, is we stagger the time. So the improv shows start at 8 o'clock, stand-up's 8:30, improv 10 o'clock, stand-up 10:30. We have a beautiful lounge area now where you can, you know, sit have a drink before and after a show, look at all the memorabilia. It's a full bar because the more you drink, the funnier we seem. And it's a beautiful location. And plenty of parking. What a concept.
So have you ever thought of hiring Ryan Dempster? He's always wanted to get in a stand-up.
Yeah, he's the guy that does the Harry Carey, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great. He's very funny. I'd love to have him come out here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he'd be a big draw.
I don't think baseball players are generally that funny, right, Phil?
Yeah, that's absolutely true, but to say he's the guy that does the Harry Carey, maybe he's the guy that does the good Harry Carey.
Yeah, that's true.
In my experience, everybody does the Harry Carey.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
I bet you've heard a few of those on open mic night, huh, Dave Sinker?
Yeah. I've got one of my performers does a great Harry Carey. We could do a Harry Carey sound-alike contest between Ryan and some of my guys. But
that would actually probably be pretty funny if you had that and had the crowd vote.
Yeah, exactly. No, I saw him do that a couple times, and I thought he was right on and very funny. It's more than doing the voice when you do Harry. It's the rambling and you know, spelling people's what their names backwards are and all that stuff. Now I'm getting sentimental and I miss Harry and I'm going to start to cry.
Hey Dave, what brought you to Chicago?
I lost a bet. I was at Second City. Graduated from Marquette. I met Robert Klein at Marquette, and he told me, "You're funny. You should go down to Second City and study." And I went to Second City and got hired. Was in the touring company for about a year and a half. Was understudy on Main Stage. And then I left the Chicago area to go to L.A. to do some writing for television. Second City was my grad school. Worked with some great people when I was at Second City. Mike Myers and Steve Carell. And Steve Colbert replaced me when I left Second City. And I saw him a few weeks back, and I said, you know, you owe your career to me. If I hadn't left Second City, you know, you wouldn't have been discovered, and you know, people could be watching, instead of the Colbert Report, they could be watching the Sinker Report on television now. And he agreed with me, but he's not going to give me any money or anything for it.
So it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So what's the website for the Comedy Shrine, Dave?
It is www.comedyshrine.com. We're very proud of our website, damn it. And it's, check it out. It pretty much tells you everything that's going on here. We have classes right now. I've got a boot camp going on this week for kids. We're getting the kids off the drugs and getting them to become improvisational actors. That way they can be unemployed like most improvisational actors. And we have classes next week starting up. We have stand-up classes, improv classes, and these are all for adults. So if any one of you guys want to come out and do some improv classes next week, you're more than welcome.
Dave, do you find that comedians root for each other or basically dislike and root against each other?
It depends on how stable the comedian is. So that alone should tell you there are very few comedians who root for each other.
That's what I figured.
Yeah, it's a weird dynamic. It really is. I think it also depends on the guy. I mean, I've worked with some people that I'm just thrilled for their success, and there's others you kind of just go, oh man, you know. There's a love hate relationship between comedians. I think, you know, comedians are a tough audience to perform for. That's for darn sure, and I think the improv comedian is probably a little bit more supportive just because of the nature of improv. You know, the improv is based on the ensemble, you know, and everybody has to work together, and I think that lends itself to a little bit more support, whereas the stand-up comedian, you know, that's it. It's them. They're on the stage. They're all alone, so I think that in itself makes them a little more isolated from other people.
Well, Phil Rogers, Dave Hoekstra, and I are going to come to your place and get a table.
Nice.
And but the thing is, we're not going to leave until we have a commitment from you to be a part of our show. Okay? We'll pull up at that table like on a Tuesday.
Good.
And it might be 30, 40 days. We'll still be there.
You could be like Scott Huber in downtown Naperville, you know? My old buddy there with the home.
Yeah.
Guy with the
yeah, right. Yeah. Wasn't he camped right outside your place?
Oh, yeah. Scott and I are old buddies. Yeah.
I haven't seen Scott in a while.
You know, I think he's up by Show Me's. And if you're going to camp out someplace, camp out where there's women that they're scantily dressed. I think that's always a good idea. I know if I were homeless, that's where I'd hang out.
In the winter, he was always in Starbucks on Ogden on his laptop, pretty much.
Only the in Naperville will you find a homeless man that has his own website and is on a laptop all the time.
Yeah, right.
We have a higher quality of homeless people here in Naperville.
That's our motto.
Exactly. And actually, we're going to get a banner that says that, you know, the number one city in America to be homeless in.
Homeless with electronics, I think it would be the way to go.
What's that?
Homeless with electronics, Naperville.
The city that works. Well, Dave Sinker, thanks for coming on with us today. The Comedy Shrine is the new location. Why don't you give one more time the new location, the address, phone number, and website of the Comedy Shrine just outside Fox Valley?
We're at 4034 Fox Valley Center Drive, right across from the Fox Valley Mall, right in the circle. Our phone number is 630-585-0300, and our website is www.comedyshrine.com. You can go to Ticketweb and purchase your tickets there or call the box office. Guys, thank you so much for this. This was a lot of fun. I look forward to seeing you in your camping gear in our lobby.
And, we'll be there.
Great. Thanks a lot,
guys. Thanks, Dave Sinker. Good luck with the new place.
Thank you so much.
Okay, hang in there, everybody. It's time for a short break, and then we have another guest after the break, a surprise guest. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
The solid sound of wood hitting a leather ball. That's the way baseball started, and that's how Hoosier Bat Company believes the game should be played. They've been providing bats to minor and major leaguers for 20 years. They offer ash bats, birch bats, and their patented Wood Force 2000, a bat with hickory in the sweet spot for great hits. View their products online at HoosierBat.com and see why players at every level have come to appreciate their quality and customer service. You can also visit them at 4511 Evans Avenue in Valparaiso, Indiana, or call 1-800-228-3787. And their patented Wood Force 2000, a bat with hickory in the sweet spot for great hits. View their products online at HoosierBat.com and see why players at every level have come to appreciate their quality and customer service. You can also visit them at 4511 Evans Avenue in Valparaiso, Indiana, or call 1-800-228-3787.
Rosati's of Naperville and Carroll Stream is the place for great pizza and more. They use only the finest ingredients. That's why Rosati's mouth-watering menu can't be beat. Rosati's delivers for lunch daily. In Naperville, call 630-305-3500. In Carroll Stream, 630-653-9009. That's Rosati's of Naperville and Carroll Stream.
Internet Talk Radio. Planet Earth. This is TalkZone.com. And now, back to the Fan Cave Radio Show on TalkZone.com. Brought to you by HoosierBat.com.
Okay, we're back. And we're back with another guest. Kamer Zuman is our guest. The play-by-play announcer for the Lake County Fielders who recently resigned on air. This is a story that Dave, our own Dave Hoekstra, has been following. So Dave can take away, go get along with some of the questions here, but I'd like to welcome you to the show. Thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks for having me on.
Okay, now Dave Hoekstra, take it away.
Well, where's Kevin Costner and all this? That's one of my questions. I don't know, did you see my stories? I mean,
yes,
I did a couple things.
Yeah, I did read your stories about it. As far as Kevin Costner, he has a very small stake in the Lake County Fielders, if at all, and that stake provides the team the leverage to promote him as an owner.
Because as this story got worse and worse, they brought in a PR guy, I can't remember his name.
Bernie DeMail.
Yeah, and they start talking about how he has no interest at all in the team. But you go to the Fielders website, and the first thing, at least last time I was on it, first thing you see is a big picture of Kevin Costner. And when I began doing my stories, they were talking about how, and we mentioned this last week, how he may have appeared there this year with his country western band and blah, blah, blah. But it is a very small piece. But they make a big deal out of him. The logo is kind of a Field of Dreamish logo, you know what I mean?
Right, right, right. That's why they're trying to build it around him, even though he really doesn't, his stake isn't really that big in it.
Was this your first year there, or were you there before?
It was my first year with the Fielders, yes.
You never saw him, you never came out there or anything?
No.
Tell me how you got started there. I mean, when you began and how you found them or how they found you.
Well, I have a friend who worked at the radio station where they broadcast the games, and he was informed by the team that they were desperately looking for somebody because this was maybe the season start. And I was like, all right. I was weighing my options. I figured, well, maybe this would be a good chance for me to, get a new demo tape, add to the resume. That'd be a good opportunity for that. So I figured, well, why not? Everything, turned out right. That I would try out. And obviously they were welcoming me with open arms because they needed somebody. So I took the job, and that's how I started with the team.
Now, what did you do? Listeners don't know. I mean, they started with this, 32-game road trip. Did you handle that?
Well, I'd never packed for a six-week road trip before. I never knew what to do, so I somewhat overpacked, at least with my travel bag, and then I also had, two or three other radio, pieces of equipment to carry with me from the station. So that was quite a haul with on the road for 6 weeks.
So you did go on the road with them. It wasn't like Ronald Reagan where you were taking feeds back home or anything like that.
No, I actually joined the team on their last day of spring training over there in Yuma, Arizona, and then I joined the team. We went together on a road trip. We went from bus from Yuma to Phoenix, went from Phoenix to Maui, and that's where we played our first road games in Maui. We had a team out there. We had to fly to all the other to play all the other teams in this league. That's just how it is. There's no team west of the Mississippi within our division. They're all well out west. So we had to fly everywhere. We went from Maui, we went back to Yuma to Edmonton, to Calgary, back to Maui, and then to Chico, California before we came home.
Tim Johnson was telling me, they split the team up. Not even the team didn't even fly together. Was that true? I mean,
we were split up on as many as four or five flights getting to these places. It was insane. We had, on our second trip to Maui, we had half a team arrive, if that, in time for the game. So luckily Maui delayed the game nearly an hour in order for enough guys to get to the ballpark and dressed in order to play the game. And we ended up playing 15 innings that game. And winning the game, and then we had a 15-inning game. We ended up winning that, and we had a doubleheader the next day. We swept that doubleheader as well. It was incredible.
Now, when did you start to sense things going south?
When we were in Maui the first time, the real money wasn't coming in. Same thing started happening when we got to, and even when we got to Edmonton, there was no. The team couldn't even give us any meal money. So the Edmonton team, they're owned by the same guy that owns the Edmonton Oilers. So luckily we have enough, in the coffers, gracious enough to provide us meal the entire stay. So, that sort of, you know, worries you when the other team has no money, but something's up. And we did receive our first checks second time, and obviously there's different banks in Maui, in Hawaii than there are on the mainland, so we had to wait to back to the mainland to even try and cash or deposit those checks. And when some players and I had tried doing that, they bounced.
Dave Hoekstra, didn't the owners have used to own another team?
Yeah, the same owner owned the Schaumburg Flyers, and that was another team where I was where I worked as a play-by-play announcer as a paid intern in 2007. So I had a previous working relationship with this owner.
And that's where, at least the sources and everybody I'm talking to, that's where the finger is pointing to.
Yeah. But as I mentioned, I mean, obviously the city of Zion has, you know, something to, you know, some blame to take, and as well as ownership. I mean, it goes both ways. You can't put a team in an area without a solidified structure, a stadium in place. You can't have these temporary structures in place and have a profitable team. And if you're a team, you can't go to a place where there isn't a stadium already set up. So there's blame on both sides.
How bad was it when you got back to Lake County? I mean, that's when I entered the picture. And I mean,
yeah. Obviously, he's traveling on the road. I was the only representative of the team, so you'd have to imagine with all the stuff going on how angry I was, how angry the team was. But I remained quiet about it. I didn't mention it at one iota while doing the broadcast. And while we were about to come home, we were told while we were in Chico last road games that everything would be, you know, once we would play these home games, got, you know, revenue in from those games, that everybody would be taken care of, everybody would be paid in full. And some guys were paid, but just not enough because they were owed so much money collectively that they just couldn't meet it all. And that's when the walls came crumbling down with this first team.
And what set you off, and what exactly did you do on the air? I mean, what provoked you to?
Well, after that Saturday fiasco and that whole weekend, I let it cool down as far as, because that was something with the team, the coach, the office. But I let my own feelings hurt. I emailed the front office on that coming Monday, a week ago Monday, that I was owed a specific amount of money, and if I didn't receive that amount of money in time for the road trip, that I would quit. I emailed everybody, and the owner had forwarded the email off to the payroll coordinator, and the payroll coordinator informed me, go ahead and cash the checks. I had a bounce check and two checks that I just withheld with me because I was worried they would bounce as well. But I had to drive all the way up to their bank, Waukegan Savings Bank, to go and cash those checks. And luckily there was enough money in those accounts for me to cash those checks, but I was still owed a lot of money that I paid out of my pocket for baggage fees, for missing meal money that wasn't paid, and also for bank fees that I incurred. I had, you know, bounce check fee, and I had fees that were taken out because I had to go to their bank to cash the check. So I was out pretty much $500. And I also had a check that was going to be due the following week because of the pay period. So I'd informed them that total that I was owed, and I would have, you know, liked that before the team went on another two-week road trip where I'd be going through the same exact thing again.
Did you know that Deadspin had a story about you?
Yeah, well, several other blogs. I didn't think I'd make Deadspin about this, but, you know.
Maybe this will be the break you needed, huh?
Well, I don't know if it's, you know, the break I needed. I mean, sure, it's nice to be put out and have this story set nationwide. I didn't want to be the focus of it. I wanted people to be aware of what was going on and why a team split up.
Yeah, what exactly did you say for those of us who haven't heard it?
Well, in the midst of resigning, I explained my reasons why I resigned, why the team left, the reasons behind. And why I resigned, and, you know, the money problems that myself, the players, and coaches had gone through while we were on the road for 6 weeks, because obviously nobody was with us. I was the only representative of the team, and I kept quiet about it, so I let loose.
So has all this publicity led to any other job possibilities?
I have not seen any single job. A job at the moment, working part-time at staffing. So I'm happy with that. That was the job that I had mentioned in the little rant.
Where did Rex Rundgren end up?
He went to Edmonton.
Oh, did he go to Edmonton?
Yeah, Rex Rundgren went to Edmonton. But, yeah, it was a lot of those guys either went to other independent leagues or to other teams within this current league. So hopefully everything turns out right for all those guys because, you know, going on the road for 6 weeks, you learn to, you create bonds and friendships that are going to last a while. And, that's how emotional I felt because you create those bonds.
Well, Kamer Zuman, thanks for joining us today, and good luck. I hope you find something or get things straightened out. Good luck to you. It's time for another break, folks, so hang in there. We'll be right back.
The solid sound of wood hitting a leather ball. That's the way baseball started, and that's how Hoosier Bat Company believes the game should be played. They've been providing bats to minor and major leaguers for 20 years. They offer ash bats, birch bats, and their patented Wood Force 2000, a bat with hickory in the sweet spot for great hits. View their products online at HoosierBat.com and see why players at every level have come to appreciate their quality and customer service. You can also visit them at 4511 Evans Avenue in Valparaiso, Indiana, or call 1-800-228-3787. Southside Cards and Collectibles is your one-stop shop for premier cards and collectibles. No matter what your hobby, baseball, football, basketball, hockey, NASCAR, gaming, or more, Southside Cards carries all the new packs and boxes from Upper Deck, Topps, Panini, and Press Pass. You'll also find memorabilia and supplies. Come in today and see for yourself. Southside Cards is open every day but Monday. They're located at 11325 West 143rd Street, Orland Park, Illinois. Call 708-873-5088 or visit them online at southsidecards.com. Southside Cards and Collectibles, your one-stop shop for premier cards and collectibles. Call 708-873-5088 or online at southsidecards.com.
Stand by for action.
You're listening to TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio. You're listening to the Fan Cave Radio Show on TalkZone.com, brought to you by HoosierBat.com.
Okay, we're back on the T-Crown Tom eBay seller ID. I have a couple nice items going this week. You can see links to my eBay items at tcrowntom.com, my website. There's also a link to the rebroadcast of this show 24/7 on the tcrowntom.com website. I have a Walter Payton rookie card that's been graded by Beckett Vintage Grading a 7. That's a near mint condition on a scale of 1 to 10. So this card will probably go in the maybe $150 range. A card that's a 9 might go $600 or $800, and a card that's graded Gem Mint 10 on the Payton rookie could go as high as a few grand. I also, another item I have on there starting tomorrow is a 1-of-1 Red Ruffing cut signature autograph card. These cards came out of the Famous Fabrics product. They had a lot of different Yankees 1-of-1 cut signatures, including Ruth and Maris and Billy Martin, and so it's a really neat product. And then I got an email from GottaHaveRockAndRoll.com. They have an auction going on now through Friday, July 22nd. Some really neat pop culture items for sale in the Gotta Have Rock and Roll auction. There's a Bruce Springsteen stage used and signed Fender guitar. Minimum bid on that item is $38,000, and the bidding ends on Friday, July 22nd. Another item they have.
Bid, huh, Tom?
I know you phoned it in, Dave, but I don't think they got it yet from you.
Oh, okay.
What, how high are you going? You going up to about 75 grand on that one?
Yeah, sure. Sometimes salary, sure. Yeah.
Here's an item that I would like, but I don't have the money for, is a Beatles signed 1964 Newsweek magazine. Minimum bid on that item, $17,500. Now, there are some Beatles items that we could bid on with starting prices at $50 each. There's probably a couple hundred different Beatles original photos. And then the last item that I wanted to mention from the GottaHaveRockAndRoll.com auction, this is should be up Phil's alley, I think. Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young signed So Far album, currently $175. Are you in on that one, Phil?
I would be, yeah. Put me down.
I think you should go to that. Go to GottaHaveRockAndRoll.com and get your bids in, Phil. So that's the Bucks in the Belfry this week, and now it's on to Hoekstra Chicago.
Well, I'll be very quick. You know, we don't talk stuff about soccer on this show, but isn't the Manchester Fire game, I don't even know if it's Saturday, probably Saturday night at Soldier Field, right? I'm pretty sure that's true. I hear there's going to be like, 55,000 people there. I mean, I think tickets are moving. But there's a great little bar, great soccer bar. A lot of the expats from England and stuff come there. It's called the Abbey Pub. 3420 West Grace, not too far from Wrigley Field. And, they got soccer 24/7 there. I mean, they have soccer at 10 in the morning. And friends of mine, the Waco Brothers, is just a great kind of country punk band. They actually formed, John Langford, he's from, the Leeds area. They all formed the band by just watching soccer at the Abbey Pub, like at 10 in the morning. So, if you can't make it down to Soldier Field for the Manchester game, I'd check out Abbey Pub. They also have live music. Back in the day, Nico Case came up through there and stuff. And it's a great little soccer bar to get your soccer fix.
If there's a sporting event in the Chicagoland area, if Dave Hoekstra will know where there is a bar close by.
Yeah. Yep.
That sounds like a good spot.
Yeah. And you know what? They were.
I'm really not a soccer guy.
Naperville's a big
I couldn't
guy.
Even get into the women's thing, and the whole world was into that.
Yeah, that was fleeting. I don't think I have any traction, but it is. It's Naperville's a big soccer area. A lot of the kids out there play play soccer, right?
Yeah,
well, kids everywhere play
seems
soccer.
Pretty big.
Yeah. I think now they actually just play Wii soccer though.
Yeah, they have that, huh? Where you can actually pretend. The ball, is that game? Oh, looks like we lost Phil. Yeah. We're having some real the connections are going in and out. I wonder if that has anything to do with have you guys had lost power at Aver.
I'm okay in Chicago.
You've got that good comment. What could go wrong?
Yeah.
Dave, I got a Cubs question for you. It's really a baseball and life question. Can you handle it?
Yeah.
Okay, you got Aramis Ramirez. A lot of teams want to have him. He has his rights not to be traded as a 10-5 guy, and he said he doesn't want to be traded, wants to do what's best for his family. He feels like it'd be too much of an inconvenience for his family. Then you've got Alfonso Soriano, who's probably nobody's going to take him, but he says, I'd love to go to a contender. I want to win. Which guy's right from a fan's perspective? Can you get behind Aramis Ramirez's family's comfort?
That's a good point. I would take the Ramirez thing. We actually were talking about that last night. Cliff Lee is a slow pitcher, so we had a lot of time to talk between his pitches last night. And we were also somebody brought up next to me that Derek Lee said that last year, and then finally when the team was right. I think when he went off to Atlanta, he rescinded that stuff.
Well, I wonder if it's timing because by the end, at the end of the summer, most players' families take off for September anyway to go back to where they have their full-time house to get kids in school and things. So I wonder if that was if it's those few weeks in August that you have planned to be with your family somewhere, you're not willing to give them up. And, you know, people are saying Aramis might change his mind too, but
yeah.
I've always thought as competitive as athletes are, who would want to stick around with a dead end team when you could go to a contender? It always makes me think ill of the guys that are, not jumping to go from, in this case, fifth place to first or second place.
I think Ramirez is such a curious. I just wonder how. I kind of like Ramirez. I remember what Lou used to say, how he's like really just a Lou's term was he was a professional hitter. And I know there's the rap they did in New Orleans postseason and all that, but I just wonder where he'll go down in the Cub legacy of third baseman. You know, I think his numbers are probably offensively more impressive than Sano's, and I kind of like him, you know. And I saw a quote from Pena this week that said he's one of the best hitters he's ever been around, and I just wonder how you size up his body of work here in Chicago. He's been here, what, about 7-8 years now, right, Ramirez?
Yeah, he came in 03, so right. So this would be the ninth season he's been a part of. Very solid hitter, and, you know, the impressive guy that doesn't just go up there and wail at any kind of pitches. You know, when he's really locked in, he's a tough guy to strike out, and when you find a guy that can drive the ball like he does and not strike out, then you've got a really good hitter. And I don't know if he's ever been like the go-to guy in the lineup. He's always been the second or third type option, but the steady guy, and very, very impressive. Seems like he's sort of turned it on and off the last couple of years.
Don't you think the thing with Aramis is that the last couple of years he hasn't had much range?
I do think he's lost a little range, but I just think his offensive numbers have been. I think he's done good offensively during his time here in Chicago. I really do.
Yeah, offensively, his offensive numbers are probably going to go down, you know, as one of the top probably four or five Cub third basemen in history, but that's not saying a whole lot because they've had about 600 of them. They usually last about 6 weeks, you know, when you look at it. Really, they've had a lot of third basemen there. Remember, Madlock was good for a while, and they traded him for Bobby Mercer.
Madlock was good, yeah.
But really, after Santo, Madlock, and then you had Ron Say for a little while, and then Aramis. Anybody in there that was any good?
That covers it. That really does. And they had all the bust outs, you know, the Kevin Ories and stuff like that.
Yeah, Ory. Who was that? Gary Scott was there for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of prospects.
I think Santa
a lot of prospects that were more suspects.
Yeah, right.
Have you been following the NFL lockout, Dave?
A little bit, just in a pedestrian way.
Yeah.
Don't have it.
It sounds like.
Go ahead.
Maybe tomorrow the owners vote on that, and I think tomorrow they're going to. Hopefully, it comes to a conclusion. There are going to be some really irritated fans if they get through the end of the day tomorrow and it gets extended. I think tomorrow's where it ends.
Are they going to save the Hall of Fame game?
They shouldn't. You know, rather than, you don't want to risk anybody getting hurt with throwing things together so fast. They haven't had their mini camps. None of the rookies have done anything. I think you just kind of forget that game and go on. I mean, that's a fifth game for those guys.
When is that, August 7th?
Yeah. But they'll probably announce that all this week.
Yeah.
I just don't see there's so much they have to get going. When I was reading it, it sounded like the Bears have to sign something like 40 guys, you know, to fill out their rosters. I think the rosters are going to be extended to 90 guys now. I don't know if that's right or not.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds like a ridiculously high amount. But there's so many guys that have to be signed and brought into camp and everything. Once this thing does end, it's going to be just nutty, all the free agents getting signed. It's going to be really fun to see who goes where, actually. 40 guys. I wonder if that's typical with every roster.
I don't know.
The NBA is what I'm really worried about. I think they could be gone in a real long time.
They might be. If there really are 20-some teams that are losing money and would do better with no season, then they're having some deep problems. And then you've got some of the stars talking about going to play in Europe.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that might be it for them.
Well, so far, Darren Williams is the only one that's committed, right? I mean, Kobe was kicking around. I said Kobe.
A lot of them are talking about it. They're going to play right now. It looks like we're at the end of the show. Sorry to the listeners for any problems we had with the connections, but we'll blame it on the heat wave. I'm pretty sure that has something to do with it. So we're on every Wednesday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Central Time. You can hear rebroadcasts 24/7 at TalkZone.com. And have a great week and stay cool, everybody.